To understand the Maya, let's begin by considering their environment, which we think of as jungle or tropical rainforest. That's not true, and the reason why not proves to be important. Properly speaking, tropical rainforests grow in high rainfall equatorial areas that remain wet or humid all year round. But the Maya homeland lies more than 1,000 miles from the equator, in a habitat termed a seasonal tropical forest. That is, while there does tend to be a rainy season from May to October, there is also a dry season from January through April. From north to south in the Yucatan Peninsula, rainfall increases from 18 to 100 inches per year, and the soils become thicker, so that the southern peninsula was agriculturally more productive and supported denser populations. But rainfall in the Maya homeland is unpredictably variable between years. Some recent years have had 3 or 4 times more rain than other years. Also, the timing of rainfall within the year is somewhat unpredictable. As a result, modern farmers attempting to grow corn in the ancient Maya homelands have faced frequent crop failures, especially in the north. The ancient Maya were presumably more experienced and did better, but nevertheless, they too must have faced risks of crop failures. Although southern Maya areas received more rainfall than northern areas, problems of water were paradoxically more severe in the south. In the northern Yucatan Peninsula, the elevation is sufficiently low that the ancient Maya were able to reach the water table at deep sinkholes called cenotes, or at deep caves. But much of the south lies too high above the water table for cenotes or wells to reach down to it. Making matters worse, most of the Yucatan Peninsula consists of karst, a porous sponge-like limestone terrain where rain runs straight into the ground and where little or no surface water remains available. How did those dense southern Maya populations deal with their resulting water problem? They excavated depressions, modified natural depressions, and plugged up leaks in the karst by plastering the bottoms of the depressions in order to create cisterns and reservoirs, which collected rain from large plastered catchment basins and stored it for use in the dry season. For example, reservoirs at the Maya city of Tikal held enough water to meet the drinking water needs of about 10,000 people for a period of 18 months. But the inhabitants of Tikal would still have been in deep trouble if 18 months passed without rain. A shorter drought in which they exhausted their stored food supplies might already have gotten them in deep trouble through starvation, because growing crops required rain rather than reservoirs. Of particular importance for our purposes are the details of Maya agriculture, which was based on crops domesticated in Mexico. For the elite, as well as commoners, corn constituted at least 70% of the Maya diet, as deduced from isotope analysis of ancient Maya skeletons. Their sole domestic animals were the dog, turkey, Muscovy duck, and a stingless bee yielding honey, while their most important wild meat source was deer, plus fish at some sites. However, the few animal bones at Maya archaeological sites suggest that the quantity of meat was low. Venison was mainly a luxury food for the elite. It was formerly believed that Maya farming was based on slash-and-burn agriculture, so-called swidden agriculture, in which forest is cleared and burned, crops are grown in the resulting field for a year or a few years until the soil is exhausted, and then the field is abandoned for 15 or 20 years until regrowth of wild vegetation restores fertility to the soil. Thus, it was a surprise for archaeologists to discover that ancient Maya population densities were often far higher than what Swidden agriculture could support. The actual values are the subject of much dispute, but frequently cited estimates reach 250 to 750, possibly even 1,500 people per square mile. Hence, the ancient Maya must have had some means of increasing agricultural production beyond what was possible through Swidden alone. Many Maya areas do show remains of agricultural structures designed to increase production, such as terracing, irrigation systems, and arrays of canals and drained or raised fields. However, other Maya areas show little such archaeological evidence. Their inhabitants must have used archaeologically invisible means to increase food production by mulching, floodwater farming, shortening the time that a field is left fallow, or in the extreme, omitting the fallow period entirely and growing crops every year, or in especially moist areas, growing two crops per year. Socially stratified societies, including modern American and European society, consist of farmers who produce food, plus non-farmers who merely consume the food. The number of non-producing consumers that can be supported depends on the society's agricultural productivity. In the United States today, farmers make up only 2% of our population, and each farmer can feed on the average 125 other people. Ancient Egyptian agriculture was efficient enough for an Egyptian peasant to produce 5 times the food required for himself and his family, but a Maya peasant could produce only 2x the needs of himself and his family. That's because Maya agriculture suffered from several limitations. First, it yielded little protein. Corn has a lower protein content than the old world staples of wheat and barley. Another limitation arose from the humid climate, which made it difficult to store corn beyond a year. Finally, the Maya had no animal-powered transport or plows. All overland transport went on the backs of human porters. But if you send out a porter carrying a load of corn to accompany an army into the field, some of that load of corn is required to feed the porter himself on the trip out, and some more to feed him on the trip back, leaving only a fraction of the load available to feed the army. Beyond a march of a few days to a week, it becomes uneconomical to send porters carrying corn to provision armies or markets. Thus, the modest productivity of Maya agriculture and their lack of draft animals severely limited the duration and the distance possible for their military campaigns. Food supply considerations may contribute to explaining why Maya society remained divided among small kingdoms that were perpetually at war with each other and never became unified into large empires like the Aztec Empire of the Valley of Mexico or the Inca Empire of the Andes. Many Maya kingdoms held populations of only up to 25,000 to 50,000 people, none over 500,000, within a radius of 2 or 3 days' walk from the king's palace.